have it set wrong or something.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. All right.
This is Russ. I'm trying to do it from a cell phone. I'm not getting a good connection, I guess.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah, Rodney's tied up on something, so I'm calling you from the cell phone so that when he's not tied up, I'll just walk over to his office.
Okay. We'll just hang on and we can talk for a few moments until he's ready. Is that the way you'd like to do it?
Sounds like an awesome idea.
Okay. So let's maybe talk about what's been going on. How are you doing in terms of kind of implementing things and anything else that's on your mind? You can always start with your agenda first. So, you know, tell me what's giving you an update.
Well, I guess the little things for me prove problematic. I don't seem to be able to handle the little stuff.
Okay.
So I think Cindy had my scheduler for about a week because it was a real mess.
Okay.
But she returned it to me yesterday, and I checked it, and then I pushed it out to my calendar for the rest of May, and it worked like a charm. So I think we've got that resolved.
Okay, good.
So, again, in terms of rollout, I'm doing pretty well at one-by-one rolling out to the key client.
Okay.
But I am trying to do that with an in-person meeting and no letter or anything like that.
Okay.
So getting that and the scheduler.
Tell me what kind of response, first of all, you're getting, and then we'll go back to your scheduler.
I think like with anything else, I mean, you're telling them about an improved service and attention to them, what's not to like, in a sense.
Yeah.
Really one group. Go negative on me, and I guess I just need to, man up maybe and just spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been negative and they don't do what I say, and it's frustrating to me. And, we probably haven't changed the investments in 2 years. And I have a planning agreement with them too, and that's why I've been hesitant to get rid of that. It's always a challenge to, we have our internal numbers and metrics that we need to hit for various things. I need those financial planning numbers.
Okay.
By the way, it's just one of those. They're frustrating to me. One of my friends told me, you'd just feel better if you didn't have to deal with them. Just get rid of them.
Yeah, you want to.
$1 billion with me and then pulled $750 back due to performance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's just been kind of negative,
Okay, I get it. Yeah.
But what about how I got stuck on them? But, in general, people like this. We are taking this message, and we're way more active on our COIs and things like that than we've ever been. And so, we're actively having a couple of meetings a week, meeting COIs, kind of talking to them about our service model, talking to them about where we want to go, and we're trying to invite them to go along with us. And, and so far I think we've had three people seem like they want to go along with us and, invest in meeting every month and trying to help each other actively, that sort of thing.
Okay. Have you gotten any asset lift? Has anybody said, okay, I like this. If you do this, I'm going to bring you some more assets?
We have not had that. We have people that have coincidentally been coming into money, and we've gotten asset lift from, maybe just the frequency contact part.
Okay.
So our joint number that we're building together, I feel really good about that. It seems like we're bringing in $500 to $1 million a month.
Okay.
With that. Again, we were kind of just stagnant before, so.
Okay. Good. Good.
But, no, I have not had anybody say, gosh, with this service model, I feel like I should bring more of my, total relationships to you. I have, no, that's not true. No, that's not true. One of my clients that I made a joint client with Rodney.
Okay.
He did move some stuff that's been at another firm that I've known about for 15 years. But the, you know, coincidentally, the advisor died.
Okay.
And it gave him an excuse, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that one is one of those.
Okay. Good.
And that guy's partner is retiring at the end of the year, and there's a $1 million, you know, thrift plan and $1 million lump sum conversion of a pension that are up for grabs in theory.
Right.
You could make them up into pensions, but, you know, it's $2 million from that relationship that we're growing. That's,
okay.
You know, we can see it in the window.
Okay. Okay. All right. That sounds pretty good. We want to begin to, you know, start bringing in assets and the kind of relationships that you want to bring in. And the important thing is to really have that service model, really working without kind of a glitch, without a thought, that it comes out naturally. Because what that'll do is the service, improved service, will allow you to be enthusiastically endorsed. When it's time for referrals, we want the clients to enthusiastically endorse you so that you can have meetings with prospects from existing clients, at least the clients that you want to get referrals from. So that's going to be really, really important as we kind of go back and review client acquisition. You know, when we really start hitting on all cylinders with the COIs, starting to form a mastermind group, getting referrals from your clients and working that VISPA model, we don't want there to be any question in anybody's mind that your level of service and organization is really, really tight. So, that's when it starts to happen. I mean, I talk to a lot of people and not everybody is at the same pace in the same place, you know, in terms of this stuff. So, you know, it takes some time, but once you get it going, it should start really working for you. And I think it's starting to, and when we get full implementation, I think, it'll be really working for you.
Yeah, in terms of, you know, who we are when we're starting a program, keep in mind I am coming from a place where I'm a notably disorganized person. And so I have further to grow, you know, mm-hmm. into the model than perhaps others.
Sure. You'll get there. So we've got to talk with Rodney. I wanted to hit today. I think we left off last time. We went through six, up through six, and we want to hit seven again by way of just a brief review. So that's kind of where we're at today. So we'll go through that. And I didn't want to jump into that without Rodney. So you can just keep talking and ask questions.
Yeah, I think he's doing a really good thing. He's got he has a lot of butlers.
Mm-hmm.
So he has two members of the staff working on getting more folders and preparing folders for all the butlers, which I haven't really. I just kind of do them as I talk to them, and I've been sporadic. So I don't have a good system to like execute that. It seems like you could do that over a period of time rather than, I just don't know how to execute and get that done.
Yeah.
I'm not getting everything done as it is, so.
Okay. Well, you know, what I suggest is you get your clients scheduled. And if you're going to have four communications a day, let's say,
mm-hmm.
with clients. That means that four folders got to go out today, right?
Right.
So if you're going to discuss your service model by phone and get the folder hand-delivered, or, yeah, I would hand-deliver the folder. You got to get three off today, which means you're going to circle through your client base in about 30 days. So let's give yourself 60 days to circle through your entire book of business, because you should be circling through to everybody once per month. Okay.
Right.
So in 60 days, you should draw a line in the sand and say, okay, I'm done. They're all out. And then that's just gonna get that level of organization off your mind. You're gonna be using the scheduler, so that we can begin to start thinking about the prospects and the asset growth. Some asset growth will come from existing clients because they'll like the service model. But the rest has gotta come from, you know, building this, there's going to be this organic growth from existing clients, and then it's going to be growth through new relationships. And that's the piece where you're going to come to me at the end of the day and say, okay, you did a really good job for me, Chris, because if I can help you grow that business, and you will grow it. I'm confident in that. I help everybody grow the business. So that's never an issue. But we've got to get the organizational piece completed.
So in terms of the butlers, because both Rodney and I do have way too many butlers. Let's say, I forgot how many he has. It's a lot. But I have, let's say, 40.
Okay.
I have 100 people. I think I called 40 key clients, and I called 40 butlers, and I called 20 undefined because I don't know what to do with them. Maybe they're just an older person with an annuity with an L-share trail, and it just sits there. And I feel like I just call them once a year or had somebody call them once a year until they die, you know, pretty much that just sits there.
Okay.
And it takes for all our software licenses and stuff. So that's not really in the model, and I haven't put them on my schedule. I'm not really doing anything, just letting them sit there.
Okay.
It's not... It's frankly, I don't call them anyway. They're just there.
Okay. So
all we really do is if they have a change their distribution or something, we do that.
Okay. Put the bigger emphasis on your Put the bigger emphasis on your best relationships. Okay.
Okay. Now I feel like really doing that, and it's a big improvement on where at least where I was. Maybe Rodney can do that. I feel like mine.
Okay. That's where you want to be really spending your time, okay?
Okay, so we're definitely doing that, but, you know, and I don't think I need 60 days on the folders for the key clients. I think certainly within 30 days that's all done. But on the butlers, since we have more than two, you know, if I've got four butlers, you know, I do now have all my butlers in my scheduler where I want them. That doesn't mean I've rolled it out to them and got their commitment to talk then, but I'm one by one doing that.
Okay.
And I,
so those 40, those 40 are going to be, take that number, three butlers equal one client. So you divide three into 40, and that's going to come out to be, 13, let's say.
13 key clients that I could not handle due to carrying the butlers, right?
Exactly. So that's the equivalent of 13.
And I'm, it feels like I'm out of capacity, but I realize I'm probably not. It's more disorganization that's my out of capacity part. The financial planning piece is sort of my Achilles heel. I create works of art, I guess, on each one. I have trouble getting the data and executing sort of the process. And so I actually think that's where I'm out of capacity is on that aspect. But my goal was really with 40 keys and 40 butlers was to build my key clients to where I was forced to get rid of my butlers.
Right.
So I didn't think I was at capacity on my numbers.
No, and I think what you want to do is every time you get a client that fits in the target, that you are looking to work with, then you have to make a decision on some of the butlers. Now, if the butlers are related to key clients, you certainly want to keep those. If they are a center of influence, you want to keep them. Okay, so you have to make your judgments on those.
Yeah, I've identified those, but I've got quite a few that are literally just they don't meet our minimums, or they are too young to have accumulated very much. Maybe they've got an insurance need and, you know, maybe a good income and some things like that, but they just haven't had enough time to get up to an affluent level.
Right, okay.
So, I mean, for me, I'm like, if they're super durable or they connect, I've decided I'm keeping them anyway, and they're just going to use a spot.
Okay. Okay.
So until I run out of spots.
Yeah. When you reach a point where, oh man, I'm out of capacity, and this is going to happen periodically throughout your productivity career, where you're going to have to make those kind of segmentation, you know, decisions. You're going to look like that spreadsheet I put out there for you when I took you all through billable hours. You know, what's your hourly rate? Okay? And the hourly time you spend on an affluent client versus the time you spend on someone else. So that's a decision you get to make, and you'll make the right decision when that time comes.
Okay, so let's see, one little micro thing that we have tried, and I don't know if I would say that we can execute it to your, you know, what do you value, what's important about that, can I get your permission, you know, the whole BIFTA script, and I call that your sourcing names and trying to get an introduction. Okay, that's basically what you're doing. So I have had another method where I do that, and I got, better at that other method where I would source the names, and then I just always suggest that let's do something pleasant or fun together as a way of meeting, and we'll go from there. You don't have to be, you know, on the hook for making a business connection, just a personal connection.
That's right.
So, but what we're having trouble with on, at least me, my meetings are too long. It takes me too long to get to the meetings. I run out of time, and then I'm basically talking myself out of going through the VISTA, which I believe is a kind of a hunk of time to do that. And so that's
okay,
where, it clearly says failure point, failure to do the VISTA. So it's right there on my, right in front of my face every day, and I'm still not doing that. But it has been, like Rodney and I did one together, and I started asking what he valued about it, and, you know, everything got a little weird for a minute, and we felt like we were all set out of time, and so we kind of closed up and dropped it.
Okay. So that's going to take some practice, you know, and you're going to have to express it in a way that makes you feel comfortable. And I think what you have to do is when you look at the breakup of a meeting, there's this first part, which is, how you doing? How's the family? You know, your last trip you took, you're going to get into that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the warming up process. I'm a human being, you're a human being. So you do that. Then what you say, look, I'd like to spend 10 to 15 minutes and really get a better understanding of the relationship that we have and the value I'm bringing to the table. So if we could focus on just the business piece for about 15 minutes, and then I'd like to kind of go back in terms of general conversation so that you can get them in the frame. You just can't go blurt it out. You've got to get them in the frame. So the first part is, let's warm it up here for about, 5-10 minutes. And then let's get down to business. Here's my partner. Here's me. We want to deliver, this exceptional service. And so we want to ask you, what do you value in the relationship? Well, I like your honesty. Guys are, you know, great. You spend the time, you pay attention to me, blah, 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 blah. When you look at what we do, what is the most important thing for you? So you start to just make it conversational. It's almost like you're conducting the face-to-face survey. And then you're gonna, you know, we like to deal with people like you. In your network, you must come across people from time to time that, could use our service. And of course, everything is, you know, confidential. And we would like to secure personal introductions. We don't just arbitrarily call people. It's got to be through a personal introduction. And so make it conversational. Okay? And we want to know if you can enthusiastically endorse us. So all of the steps that you're taking in terms of that model lead up to that. And we're going to go back through it again, so you don't have to worry about that. But there are some folks we coach, they exclusively use that model to acquire new relationships. And then, yeah, so, you know, everybody is a little bit different in terms of what they extract from the program, but we coach on 7 methodologies. I'd like to know that you may be using at least 3 of the methodologies that help you grow your practice. And I have to use all 7, and you pick and choose what you feel comfortable with. But some are a little more, I'm going to say, aggressive than the others. The nonprofit ones, the social media ones, they're not as aggressive, but they do work.
Yeah, and I've done the nonprofit thing, maybe not well, but I've done that for a while, and I'm now just falling off of a board, and I've asked you before. I just haven't taken any action to set up the next couple of things.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the social media, I mean, Roddy and I each, you know, post financial stuff to our website and to our LinkedIn and to our business Facebook feed. That's all we are doing. We're not doing anything asking for introductions, which is, I mean, it's just another component we haven't added that we just can't seem to get to. You know?
Yeah, did you see that PowerPoint I sent you?
Which PowerPoint are we talking
about? It had a rough vocal. It had, it was a communication, kind of an advertorial, where you communicate the service model to a prospect by sending a link.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did, and I remembered somebody else that had been at a firm I was at who actually spent, I'm going to say, better than 10, 15 grand kind of doing that back before things were like they are today.
Yeah, yeah.
Find it right now, but I do remember you sending it.
Okay, so that's a huge experiment for me, and the audio is not all that great. Pictures that are on it, aren't necessarily, you know, I grabbed them from Google, so, you know, they weren't paid for. And then, the audio component, I could see that with a, photo with you and Rodney, on it, and I could see, your vocal, on it, and then it's saved either in Google or Microsoft Cloud, where you automatically get a link, right? And then you just send a link every time you get in touch with a prospect.
We actually loved it. Roddy and I talked about it in our business planning meeting and how there's got to be some way for us to take a shortcut and get to that as quickly as possible because it's so useful and we'd love to do it. We have one that we, from the firm that we're supposed to use, which is more like a 3-minute, where do you stand in terms of retirement preparedness?
Right.
Retirement preparedness is our topic of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we definitely like the idea of the link as a tool, and every time you get introduced to them, it's right there for you to send, and so many will look at it, so many will not. But it's right. A tool.
Yeah.
I can't I'll have to sign that again. I think you sent that in April, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And let me tell you, this is not $15,000 worth of work. Okay? I could probably, on an off meeting, take you through, how to do it. Because basically all I did was, create it, in PowerPoint with a voiceover, and I converted it to, video. Okay. Right on the computer. And I did that one in about, I'm going to say it took me about 25 minutes to do it.
Really? And that sounds like we already bought the time, we should just use the box and be done with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be kind of a social media marketing thing. So every time, you know, somebody connects, or you connect with somebody, bang, the link goes to them. Hey, thanks for hooking up. Boom, here. This is who we are. This is what we do.
Well, I'm embarrassed that I can't find it now that I'm looking for it while being on the phone with you. But I know it's there.
Yeah, don't worry about that. I'm going to see if I can, I'm going to go in and pull that for a second. Okay. So, let's see. We're a half hour in. Rodney hasn't joined us, and I got some material that I want to make sure I cover. Let me just go in and pull this link real quick so that we can spend a minute talking about it. So just bear with me.
Yeah, you know I have my own speakerphone on myself, so I'm trying to multitask by also looking for that link. But it was for you, I believe. It wasn't for anybody else.
Mm-hmm. No, it was for me, so yeah, just bear with me here. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Remember, this is not anything official, it's just a little something that I created to test, and if I felt like people liked it, then I might look to, you know, maybe improve it, put their pictures on it. Okay. Let's see here.
I have your book here, and I'm looking at this Scott Trauma surgery team comparison.
Let me tell you, that was so fun. That was so much fun interviewing the head of trauma surgery. And that quote in the beginning of the chapter. I mean, this trauma surgeon, he's got huge hands, looks like he could be a basketball player. And he says, I come in like a white knight. You better get out of my way because, you know, I got a life to save. And there's so many parallels in what they do in terms of functional leadership and how leadership on a team shifts based on the expertise of individual team members. And that was the point of that compare and contrast. And so when you read it, That's the key component of that chapter.
Okay. Well, and it's also nice and short. I'm like, man, I'm going to blow through that before our call this morning, but I didn't get the other stuff done in time to do it.
I had a... Yeah. Okay. I had a manager...
Largely reinforces a lot of the things we talked about.
Exactly. It reinforces, but dives more into team.
Okay.
So, all right, I got the link. I'm going to put it in here. And let's see, paste. And let's see, I'm going to go to Layla. I'll just send it to Rodney again, too. Okay. I'll just make it to video. And send it. Okay, I just sent that out to you. And so what you want to think about is kind of a thing that's got a little bit of your profile on it. Got your photos. And then who you work for, your firm's logo. And then it goes right into your service model. It's not talking about products, but it's making people think, God, that's exactly the kind of person I want to work with. That's all it's designed to do. And then at the end, there should be a call to action put in there. So right now, this is just at the experimental stages. Okay? Let's see. I don't know, are you sitting in front of a desktop at this point or no?
I am, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you can open it or not.
I didn't get anything in yet that I can tell.
Yeah, everything goes through your firm's firewall.
Yeah, I bet so.
Which takes a moment to get through. But it's clearly sent. You know when it pops up.
They must be thinking, little storm clouds above his little head.
Okay. Oh, Jessica?
Nothing yet.
Okay. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll come back to that when it pops.
Do you want to just try to reschedule 30 minutes? Just Rodney and Dave? I mean, I know he doesn't want to miss this, but obviously his computer was down, and he was felt like he was stuck to address it.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that for you guys. We don't have to worry about, going through Cindy for the scheduler. When do you think you'd like to do it?
I can pull up his calendar with mine real quick and
okay.
I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm checking his calendar on my little boxes here.
Okay.
Today really is a good day because he was going to be in Houston today and it got canceled.
Oh, okay.
Here.
Do you have any more time today?
I'm checking. I think we have time late this afternoon. Looks right. And because I also had a cancellation today late.
Because the advantage I have is I'm on the Pacific Coast, so.
So 2 o'clock your time, I had a cancellation. It looks like you also had a cancellation. And then Friday afternoon, no, let me think. I made a promise to somebody. I'm gonna have to go to somebody's house.
I can do 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock Pacific. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Then let's reconvene at 2, and we'll go through some of these other chapters and make sure we got those things down, and then you'll get a better feel for what I'm talking about regarding this PowerPoint idea for a marketing idea.
That'll work. That'll work. And I feel bad about burning your time up this morning.
No, 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 no. We have only been on the phone for 30 minutes, and, you know, this is good, and, you know, I really enjoy the frank conversation, so no apologies needed. I'm glad you got the book, and I hope, let me tell you, I've gone through this book more times than I can count. And I went through some sections just yesterday, and I got some more out of it. I mean, even for me, I'm doing a podcast for another firm, and I kind of went back to the book. I'm going to do one on team leadership and how leadership can shift among team members, and when a variety of leadership has to be evoked when circumstances change. So I'll be talking about that. So, you know, once you get the book, give me some feedback. I'd like to, you know, hear your thoughts and with regards to a team, because you guys are on a parallel path. One is you're trying to really get the mechanics of Supernova so you can accelerate your business. And then the other is you're trying to bring this team dynamic closer and closer together. So that's a parallel track for a new team, and has its challenges as well. So I'm glad that you both have the book, and it'll be very, very helpful to you.
I'm very energized about it. We run into something virtually every hour that we want to ask you, you know. Like, yesterday, we were fortunate enough to meet with I don't know if you know the layout of Dallas. Dallas kind of has like the upper crust in the old center of Dallas, and then regular people in the Beltway, and then we're in more like a couple of the suburbs that has become sort of the one of the new places to live in America, you know, Plano and Texas, and we're in that pocket. And so, like, Romney really prides himself on the value that he delivers to his clients on all kinds of things. And I think I kind of love the connection part. And so one of our mastermind attorneys, the labor attorney, she set us up with somebody with her firm that does high-end estate planning.
Okay.
Right? Plus the transaction works. So we had a lunch, and really, Rodney and I got to figure out how to handle this, because we have estate attorneys already, but they're mostly suburbs. And guess what? They're less expensive.
Right.
And okay. He's down in with the old heart of Dallas people, and he's more expensive, but his connections, I think, would be rich. You know, and I don't mean rich in money. I mean rich in potential.
Right.
And so it's a real kind of almost like a test for him whether it's worth investing in this guy, and especially sending business to this guy, because he's like, this guy's never going to reciprocate.
Right.
You know, in terms of one of our estate attorneys we could refer people to. And my thinking is we have to send him business so that we can, you know, grow our relationship first and be in the mix at least.
Exactly.
But, you know, Rodney's like, well, he charges $100 an hour more, and, you know, let's say that something happens later in life, these country attorneys will come in and take care of them without billing them per hour, and this guy's going to expect to bill them per hour. And I'm like, but we still need to do that. You know, we need to do both. It's fine. If I've got a country person, I can put them with a country estate attorney, but I need tools for the affluent, too. So
yeah,
you could weigh in to help us figure out how to decide stuff like that.
Yeah, that is a great, great question. You know, I'm going to write that one down, and we'll come back to that. So I will be on with you guys at 2.
Sounds good. Sorry to use your time again. I realize.
Oh, no apologies. No apologies. Take care. Bye bye.
Okay. See ya. Bye.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Sorry I was hung up this morning. I've spent literally 3 hours today online with the support trying to get a simple issue fixed.
Wow. Well, that's one of those 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution, but it took you, you know, 3 hours worth of your day to get it resolved. I hope you are fine. So,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay, Russ. So, Russ and I had a chance to speak for a little bit, and so I'm going to really get into the material, but before I do, and I've covered this with Russ, why don't we take 5 minutes of some time with you to have you give me an update on your progress for implementation and execution. So why don't you tell me what's going on relative to Supernova and any successes that you may have had thus far?
Well, I would say the client service aspect is going well.
Okay.
Our Corinne is sending out folders. They're still not all out to the butlers, but she has a list of those that are getting them and sending those out. So
okay.
That's kind of on autopilot, just happening as she can do it.
Sure.
Yeah. I think still the process for notifying clients of the meetings
okay.
is a little cumbersome. We're still trying to figure out how best to do that. You know, if we just set them up on Outlook on a repeating appointment and can set up some kind of a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And Corinne hasn't figured that out yet. I don't know that she looked at the video you sent. She's been out quite a bit lately.
Okay.
So, still have some work to do there. Trying to take on the growth side. That's the part that I feel like, you know, I'm the weakest in and, you know, not really getting a lot of VIPSO referrals, but I've gotten several referrals. Got a couple of, well, at least one client meeting this, I think it's next week.
Okay.
That came from describing the model. And this was just through a group that I'm involved in, met the guy and told him about it. He's currently with Edward Jones and, but he liked the sound of what we're doing. So that got us a meeting.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. All right. So a couple of things that you said and some feedback. One is you told me, you know, you got a fair number of butlers. And I think through your profiling and communication of the service model, you're going to determine if they have other assets that warrant that service, okay? So you say, look, our service really, we treat all our clients the same, with one exception. The clients that meet this financial target, they get 12 contacts per year, with 4 appointments, 2 being in person, and the other 2 being telephone reviews, a 1 hour response to problems with a 24 hour resolution. The other clients get contacted 4 times a year, with 1 review per year. Now that doesn't mean that if you don't have issues, you can't call in, but in terms of me programming you on my calendar, to make sure that nothing slips through the cracks, that's how we do it. Okay. So you have to be confident to be able to do that because this really now is about billable hours. Okay. this is a great business when you are billing yourself out at about $250 an hour. Okay?
Right.
But when you're billing yourself out at $50 an hour, it's a little painful experience because you're putting in time, effort, and energy, and you're not getting the return on your time. So that's how you want to begin to start thinking about the value that you provide. You can provide more value with affluent people than those that don't meet, you know, your target or your test. Do you feel comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. The next thing in this whole process is I sent you all a little PowerPoint. It was very tastefully done, but I wanted you to see the big picture in terms of, you know, kind of creating this link where you store what I envision this thing being. You got a copy of it. And Russ, did you get a chance to finally receive it and open it?
Was this what you sent today?
Yes.
Our system would not let us open it. I had to forward it to my home or personal email.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you haven't been able to really look at that. Okay. No worries. What it really is it's a PowerPoint that describes the service model. And then with it's in PowerPoint format, but it really is a video and it's an advertorial, and you're going to need compliance to approve it. So once the link has been created, you could send it to prospects to re-emphasize your service model. That'll probably work on a smartphone too. Probably could open it up on a smartphone.
Yeah, I was, Russ just started to play it, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think it's
on the phone.
Okay, it's about 3 minutes in length. But what I envision would be that it would have the photos of your team prominently displayed, a logo on it, and at the end, a call to action. So if you met someone, you very quickly could send that link. The link basically gets stored in Google Drive or Microsoft Cloud. And so you just shoot the link to somebody and they got a message on your service model. You use your vocals and it's clear. And that's how you use it. Somebody told me today that they talked to somebody about doing something like that and they wanted to charge them between $10,000 and $15,000 to do it. I did this one, you know, in like 25 minutes. It could be polished up with the audio and that sort of thing, and done on a computer screen. So something that I was thinking that you could test out so that every time you came in contact with a prospect or you just finished this VISPA meeting or you were talking to a COI, boom, you shoot your link. They open it up and they look at it. So,
okay.
You know, kind of think about it. It's an experiment. So it's
sure.
Not something that I do on a regular basis, but something I was testing. And the reason I did it is there have been several individuals that have done that to me about their product area in the way of an advertorial. Physicians and folks in the health industry are doing this quite a bit. Nobody in the financial services realm I think, are really doing it. So it's an advertorial. You're going to have to get a compliance approval when you do it, but it's like getting compliance approval for a PowerPoint. The only difference is you're sending out a link as opposed to the entire PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
So you might have to have a disclaimer on it. Okay. So now, any questions about that?
No. Nope.
Okay. Okay. So let's kind of, we left off, I think, on week, I believe it was week number 6 we completed. And so now we want to move into week number 7. So what I'll do is just ask if you have any questions on the previous material that we went through. The week number 6 was about the mini-me folders, scheduling your COI meetings, building your 24-month schedule of educational and marketing topics. Here's some feedback I got from an FA today. He put long-term care as a topic and got 11 immediate cases on long-term care by just putting that as an agenda topic. It resonates with baby boomers who are dealing with elderly parents. They see what they go through, and they don't want to go through the same thing. So really look at that and make sure that that's maybe one of your topics. That's where you get, yeah, okay. So I just wanted you to be aware of the success that people are having with that one particular topic. Okay, you got to train your clients in Supernova. Now, one of the things that you've been doing, Rodney, is you've been kind of sending out a letter of explanation. I think your 12 best clients, those are the top 20% of your book. And if you did 3 per day, you'd be well done with communicating the service model. And so one of the things, are you done? Okay, good, good. And then because that's where you're spending your premium time. The butlers are okay, you want to service them, but spend your premium time so that you can be enthusiastically endorsed by your very best, clients. Okay. The other thing that we talked about was, missed appointments and emergency situations. So, something comes up, and somebody needs to reschedule, you know, you accommodate them, or they're already scheduled for the next call, so they maybe miss a call, okay? How are you all doing with your 24-month call topics?
It's going pretty well. I mean, a lot of them, like, have been very appropriate, like beneficiary review, power of attorney setup. I mean, wow, I set up, I don't know how many clients with our associated person or power of attorney, and they were excited about it. You know, they felt like that would be really good to have set up. So
okay.
Something as simple as that was very positive.
Okay, okay. So now you're into batch processing agendas. And what's your topic for the month of May?
Um,
What do you talk to clients about for me?
I'm going to have to pull up my sheet.
Okay. Now, what I'm getting at this is that if you're batch processing and you are in this new month, there would have been 15 days where you would have had those conversations with the clients, and you would know what, how you were scripted and what those discussions would be about. So that's one of the things that you have to really incorporate in your practice. You've got the normal things you're going to discuss with clients in terms of their portfolios or what have you, but then you're going to have that one educational topic. So that you're going to batch process, you scripted, you prepared, you had a specialist that you maybe interviewed or you bring into the table on that particular topic. Okay. So now what we're doing now is we're getting into the things that make the difference between average performance and off the charts performance in terms of productivity and improvement and enhancement. Okay. So I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you your topic for May. I'm going to ask you what your topic is for June.
May, it is the nearing retirement checklist. And then that doesn't apply to everybody. So the other potential topics are taking advantage of online tools, making sure people are set up for online tools, and lastly, connecting us with their tax preparer.
Okay. Now, here's the one thing that I want to ask you is not all the topics can be what I call esoteric. Okay? I know those topics are designed to help and you should have some of those topics. But there's gotta be topics that can lead to some business without you appearing to be the sales guy on the other end of the phone. So if you're going to introduce long-term care, and I was talking to a client the other day, Joe, and he's having to care for an elderly parent. I don't know if you've experienced that or not, or if you have thought about your circumstances to the extent that that might have an impact on your family. But I'm having these conversations because I want my very good clients to be prepared. So to what extent have you prepared for long-term care? Then the conversation goes in, well, look, we have a special relationship with XYZ company where we are providing on a case-by-case basis the provisions for long-term care. Sounds like something that you would want to have. Am I correct? So what I want you to be able to do is to have some of those educational topics get framed as ideas that can generate business and revenue. Okay. Now, if you're having a conversation, you agree with that, right?
Absolutely.
Now, if you're having an educational topic about some technology tools that can help enhance the client, what have you, where does that lead to potential business? I'm just asking the question because I want to know. What pathway does that lead?
We have a data gatherer tool that allows us to see what's at their bank, or their desks or at other brokerage firms, and allows us to compile it for our financial planning without having to ask them for statements. And that's sort of the idea. We get them on that system so that now we can ask them, hey, I noticed that whatever oil stocks really rebounded, I noticed you didn't have any in that portfolio over at Fidelity.
Okay.
That's the idea on the technology tools.
So that's really account aggregation. The whole account aggregation capability was started by a company called Buy All Accounts and then was subsequently bought out by someone else. And it's where you can aggregate accounts to get a total portfolio view of the client's financial picture. So when you're making goal-based recommendations, you're not recommending things that are either duplicative or throw portfolios out of balance. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
Okay. So now, are you articulating that way to your clients? Or are you positioning it as a kind of a technology question or a technology kind of conversation?
I have probably done it more for the convenience and for us to understand what they have, but the convenience of them not having to copy and email statements and the whatnot as we monitor.
That is a benefit. That is clearly a benefit of doing it. But there's also a financial benefit, a portfolio benefit for them, and then there's also a benefit to you, which is to try to aggregate wealth and get assets under management so that the client has a picture of everything. So what you have to do is once you complete the benefit discussion about convenience, what are we really trying to do here? We want to give you a picture of what your total goal-based portfolio looks like so that everything is done in the proper balance, which is going to, you're going to find opportunities because of that. Okay. That makes sense?
Yes.
So what I'm doing is...
Just giving an example on just one of the topics. There's what you're saying. There's an eloquence to how we communicate these topics. It's not just a topic.
Exactly. It's kind of positioned as an educational topic, but in the back of your mind, you're not professors. You know, you don't give them a degree and then they walk away. It's like, you know, you're going to educate them so that they become more sophisticated to do more and better business with you and think that, oh man, these guys think of everything. And then it dovetails on the supernova principles where you get enthusiastically endorsed. Okay? So now you go back and we had the discussion on, you know, crafting these agendas, which are solutions to financial problems or opportunities, and that's processing the topics. So now it kind of puts things in a different light, correct?
Right.
Okay. So make sure that when you are positioning those topics, that you put the topic down, but put a catchphrase to it. You know, you may have been responsible for taking care of elderly parents. Who's going to take care of you? Let's have that discussion. Now,
great.
You're hearing the sales guy in me come out a little bit. But, you know, you guys are holistic wealth managers, but still, there's got to be this whole psychological move towards getting people to take action. Okay?
Yeah.
So like life insurance reviews. You know, life insurance is like the ultimate in altruism. You're going to take care of other people. You know, so the way you're positioning the life insurance review is, you know, we want to take care of those that may need to be cared for in the event that something happens to the primary breadwinner. And because of that, the mortality tables may have changed, and so it might be appropriate to take a look to see if you can get the same coverage or more coverage at the same or less cost. So that's why you're doing this stuff and making sure that the amount of coverage, you know, is what they need because their level of affluence has changed. Okay.
So Curtis, as we learn and we reflect and we go back, because I think you probably have already done it, on our 24-month calendar, we have all these topics. If we wanted to change that, is that just something that we're going to say, hey, listen, it's September. We've decided to, you know, change a couple of the topics for the coming months, and we're going to send you an updated 24-month calendar for your folder. Is that how we do that?
Yeah. It's, you know, we have heard from our clients that this has become more of a pressing discussion, and we thought that it may have some bearing for you. So, you know, that's all you have to say. That's all you have to do. Okay. Cool. So that was, getting into, the topics for number, that 6 weeks. And those are the most important things. And so, you know, we wanna hurry up and get off the segmentation bandwagon and beginning to focus more on client development. So accountability, scheduling, and workflow moved into you know, kind of getting into the seventh chapter. So let's frame that for a moment. You've got your 24-month calendar of topics, and what you're doing here by talking about some of the esoteric things that come out of financial plans is that you are establishing this bank of trust with your clients. Okay? And when you establish that bank of trust, then there is forgiveness when something doesn't quite go as planned. Okay? So you're calling on a regular basis, you're sending out executive summaries, you're educating the clients, you are applying the service model to those clients. Now, you look at that whole package, and what are you doing? You're establishing the bank of trust, but you're also establishing yourselves to be enthusiastically endorsed. Okay? So, we talk about being enthusiastically endorsed from your perspective, and then we talk about enthusiastically endorsed based on the client endorsing their other professionals. So we got that sheet. Your tax real estate attorney, can you enthusiastically endorse them? And that's giving you names automatically. Your estate planning attorney, can you enthusiastically endorse them? The elder chair concept. CPA, can you enthusiastically endorse them? How about physicians? Attorneys, can you enthusiastically endorse them? You know, so you're getting names left and right. They're writing them down, sending this back to you, or you're keeping track of your client's list of enthusiastic providers. Now, when you get a new client, or somebody just moves into town that becomes a client, you have created a golden Rolodex of providers that are enthusiastically endorsed that could be recommended. All the way from housekeepers, nannies, personal trainers, the car guy, the electrician, the plumber. Okay? So that is the point I'm trying to get at in terms of you now having this golden Rolodex that you can use for your benefit. Okay. Any questions on that? We're getting names.
It's enthusiastically endorsed providers that we gather from our clients as people that we should meet and see if we can vet them kind of and say, hey, listen, you know, this patient of yours, boy, you hung the moon. We want to know you. When we get the opportunity, we want to be able to send our patients to you.
Exactly.
Right. So then that gives us a chance to meet them. I guess the theory there is if there's anything else beyond that premise, then they'll bring it up to us because we're not trying to get them to talk to us about a 90-day free look or anything like that. It really is just we want to connect you to the people that have needs when they have, right?
Right. Exactly.
The rest of it will kind of take care of itself in karma, right?
Right. Well, actually, when you then fast forward to 8, 9, and 10, and we're into things like the VISPA model, and you are finding out what they value, what's important, and who in your network should we be talking with, then some of these names may come up. Remember, you got that folder?
I may have already had a meeting with Dr. Smith, and now I'm talking with Dr. Jones, and when we say, you know, who would you suggest, and we ask, you know, how would you suggest I connect with them? It could be that it is Dr. Smith that Dr. Jones is suggesting, and we say, listen, I've been two patients to him, and this is, you might build the way you get introduced to them off of that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So fantastic. So as you can see, I'm hitting the business development thing harder. Okay. So you got all these planning topics, beneficiary designation reviews, titling per estate planning instructions, college planning, charitable gifting strategies, and taxes. Okay. So enough, the Bank of Trust is going to help with the client acquisition model. So the more they trust you, the more they're likely to refer you. Your level of service is so great that no one is going to be embarrassed by enthusiastically endorsing you. Oh, she's great. You know, we meet 12 times a year. We have 4 appointments. 2 of them are in person. 2 of them are phone reviews. He educates me on a monthly basis. And after every call, I receive an executive summary that summarizes what we agreed to. And then, more importantly, we have the next steps for the next call. Oh, this guy's terrific. Okay.
And the only way we get to that point, however, is that we must go through VISPA and take the time and get them to open up and get them to figure out a way for us to meet the people they care about. If we don't do VISPA, basically we fail to allow them to enthusiastically endorse us.
Exactly. And if you're not doing the service model, if they're not on board with that, then they've got nothing that says why you are differentiated among all the other folks that are out there in the world. See, here's what you don't necessarily want to say. Let's say I'm a client, and I got a financial advisor. And the client that is referring me to you says, use Russ because he's a great portfolio manager. Well, I think I got that covered. No thanks. Or contact Russ because, you know, he understands insurance. Now, what you want to have happen is you want them to talk about you in glowing terms because your service model is exceptional, which differentiates you from the guy I'm working with. Because if they haven't been swooping over, then definitely not offering this service. So that's how you differentiate yourself. And yeah, the other capabilities that you have are sub-points that the client can talk about. I want people to be able to enthusiastically endorse you for all of the great reasons. And they will. I have to tell you, there are, and this is just the articulation of the service model face-to-face to COIs, terms of your targets and your minimums, should be enough to gather some aspects very early on in the game. Okay? So you gotta get aggressive doing that.
Okay.
All right. Chapter 8. Was building meaningful client relationships. Okay. So by way of review, it was all about your client meetings. So, you know, your 15-minute phone meetings, which are personal updates, brief portfolio summary, a little discussion of the topic of the month, and then saying, hey, what is the value today? Okay. And before I start my call, I want to know about your agenda. What's on your mind? What have you been thinking about? And at the end, what is the value today? What did you get out of the discussion? Send the summary, and you now have that in your file for the things that you're going to discuss on the next call. The 30 to 45 minute phone review, personal update. I have an agenda, but before I get started, is there anything you want to discuss? More detailed summary of the portfolio, educational topic, what is your value today? And for the in-person review, it's the personal update, portfolio review, maybe short-term goal and recommendations, your educational topic, and an evaluation of the service. You know, ask the value of the time that you have spent together, then you use the BISPA technique to get introductions. What have you valued today? What's been important? Have we delivered this personal service to you? Okay? So, we cover centers of influence. They get treated like clients. They get a folder. They're on your schedule. They know your dynamic. They've been educated. They've been to lunch or dinner with you. You have monthly meetings with them. They provide lots of introductions. You make sure that they understand your 12-4-2 service model. You know, you tell them about your holistic approach to handling clients, you know, and how that differentiates you from everybody. So, you know, what you're really doing is you're almost creating this little mini sales force that's out there working for you, except they're not on the payroll. And they get a nice dinner with you once a month. You like them, they like you. Okay.
What's the nice dinner? Am I supposed to be taking everybody to dinner once a month?
you feel your center of influence.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. I see what you're saying. I guess I was thinking coffee and that sort of thing. So I can go in concept.
You can go either way. I'm not mandating that they go to dinner. But, look, if this is a great resource and they're taking care of you, take care of them.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's like, what's a dinner when somebody's giving you 6 to 12 quality leads or personal introductions? Remember, you know, it's got to be the personal introduction. It isn't the business card, hey, call this guy. They are hand-holding. They're walking the bride down the aisle and passing her on to you. Okay. Mastermind group. Designed to generate more than just introductions. It's active in helping other members with all aspects of their business. They're growing. They can help you. You can help them. You know, decide who you want on your mastermind group. You know, I have, there's a person that decided that, that they would put a, you know, a lot of these business owners have heightened employee issues now. And, I mean, it's everything from the I-9s to anti-harassment policies, handbooks that govern behavior, that if they're not paying attention to them, can create increased liability. So if you've got a business owner, get one of these employment attorneys on there, you know, get the CPA, all depending on your niche markets and what you're going after. So how are you all doing with starting to put together a 4-person mastermind group?
Russ, you want to take that?
I was going to let you, I actually mentioned to Curtis earlier today that, you know, you and I have to figure out certain things with, like, accountants. Like, you know, who's the right accountant for this pool of people? We have a live mastermind, but I already see the need for the second one. And our mastermind is the employment attorney, the commercial insurer.
Okay.
And, you know, we would certainly like to connect an accountant. The one time we thought would be a nice match kind of deterred us a little bit with his enthusiasm and by telling us that he didn't think he had the influence to send people to us. I don't know if we're delusional thinking that we're going to find an attorney, because if so, we want to keep shopping, that we're going to find a CPA that will talk like that. But anyway, that's where we're at. We've got several CPAs that we're at least working on. We went to an event where we met 2 CPAs in a big town and some in another town, and they're all part of the same firm, and they invited us to their client briefing on the new tax law, so that's pretty good.
Okay.
So I think we might be able to build a mastermind around that at some point.
Okay.
But we have the state attorneys also in several communities, and we're trying to ideologically figure out how best to, you know, connect clients with them and not, like, use our bullets on the wrong one.
Right. Yeah, you know, there you go.
From the standpoint, we don't want to send 3 cases to a guy that's never going to really, really invest in us and have any chance of reciprocation. And certainly from Rodney's brought up, you know, you want to give a good value. And you want to, you don't want to send everybody to the most expensive guy you can identify, because you can take the money too. So we've got all these different things, but, you know, in your model, we have 2 mastermind groups. And then each of us, if I understand it right, have between 3 and 6 COIs.
Right.
And so obviously we can have 3 different people that happen to do estate law, and we can have, you know, 3 or 4 people that are accountants and so forth.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's really more of a matching game, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you looked at 3 COIs that are cranking, you got 3 dinners to go to per month.
Okay.
If you got 1 mastermind group, that could add another dinner. So you've got 4 business development dinners per month. That's not so bad. That's pretty good. You know, these aren't dinners where you're just going to dinner and having a wonderful dinner and a nice time. It's building that relationship. Okay.
So you're saying if we have a mastermind group and it's cranking, then we almost fully expect those people to make time in their schedule and get babysitters, let's just say that. Because 2 or 3 something have little kids. And just babysitters and devote that energy to our mutual benefit. And that's not odd to ask for that.
That's right.
Why wouldn't we just do it at lunch?
Well, you can do it at lunch. Here's the thing about lunch and the distraction of lunch. The lunch is the lunch hour and doesn't lend itself to as much business development, personal relationship, as a dinner would. In a lunch, the distraction is, I gotta get back to work. Dinner, not so much. Everybody's got to eat.
Yeah, maybe Russ is thinking what I am. I mean, he's like the attorney, the insurance guy. They're both, and I'm kind of in that same boat. You know, you got family, kids, events, you know, wife wanting you to relieve her when you get home and things like that. Dinners are kind of hard to get away for on a regular basis.
Okay. So my question then is, here's how I had to do it. How this kind of relates my personal story. Even running a branch with 135 people, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I had some nights. But I could slip away and show up at a ball game and be there and go hit my dinner later on. So what you can do is you can restrict yourselves to 1 night a week. 1 night a week or 2 nights a week, you make the determination where on that 1 night, it can't be 7 days a week, but 1 night a week is business development night. You're with a COI 1 week. You're with a mastermind group 1 night. And 2 COIs the other 2. That's once a week. You know, do you have once a week in your schedule? And, you know, most of the time, yeah, and most of the time, in all kids' activities, with some exceptions, should be sent, gotta be done by 6. Cause they gotta do homework or do whatever they do, and they gotta get ready and get ready for school.
I don't know. Mine's starting at 6:30 tonight. It'll be going till 8 or 8:30.
Oh, really? What activity is it?
FFA.
What's FFA?
Future Farmers of America.
Oh, okay. Future Farmers of America. Okay. Yeah.
And then we've got Orchestra, which that one's in next week. That starts at 6:30 or 7.
Okay. So, are they in activities 4 nights a week or 2 nights a week?
You know, it's funny. You look at our family. I mean, we have 3 kids and my wife and I. And so, Mondays, a lot of the kids' events are on Tuesdays. Wednesdays are booked. So Thursday and Friday a lot of times are open, and that's about it.
Okay. So you just need to figure out what that one night is that you're going to devote to your business activity.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it can be done. You just got to figure it out, like you said.
Yeah, remember, everything gets scheduled.
there you go. Curtis, I guess I was thinking, in one sense, we could always just organize the, you know, breakfast or dinner around the person that we're trying to do our business with. And if they've got little kids, it just might have to be a breakfast. And if they don't, it could very well lend itself to the evening. Yep. In a partnership, I could do more of the evenings because my kids are older. And we could tilt this thing a lot of ways. But I think what you're really saying is it's almost like the, you know, the 2 or 3 couples you go on a vacation with. That's a much more meaningful relationship than if they're willing to do lunch when they're going to have lunch anyway in terms of investment, and that's what you're really going for.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You slice it up to where you feel comfortable. Okay. Here's the last thing that I want to do. I wanted to hit 3 of these today, and we'll begin with this one next time we talk, if I'm not, you know, getting you guys too overwhelmed. If I am, stop me, okay? Because I know some of this is with you. Okay, so the next section starts this transition to acquisition. And so I want you to be very familiar with providing the 90-day free look. And the reason you're doing it is that in most, you know, businesses, and this is an exception, people don't get an opportunity to, you know, do a test drive. So you're giving them this test drive. You give them an opportunity to smell the leather, listen to the stereo, and, you know, pull the car away and get to feel how good that feels. Okay? 90-day free look. Your 6 COIs, your 4-member mastermind group, 2 community boards, 2 niche markets, and 1 social media network strategy. Okay, so I was talking to a team today, and the spouse, the wife, is one of the members of the team. And she's involved in this nonprofit, and you know, I've been talking to her about investment policy statements and how there's some work to be done on this nonprofit that she sits on. And they became so enthusiastic about it that they went out, got a couple of books on the subject. They were in this IMCA conference on the whole subject. And they are now starting to read articles and get familiar with their market. Okay. Now, let's say that you all are in my niche market. So what am I doing? I'm reading Investment News Daily, RIA Biz, Advisor Perspectives, Advisor Hub, Wealth Management Advisor, just to make sure I'm keeping up with what's going on with my market. Okay? You have to do the same thing on your niche markets. Now, have you formulated and identified two that you want to develop or feel most comfortable developing? And I think we beat this one up a little bit, Rodney.
We're indecisive, apparently, on this one.
Okay.
Healthcare is a default just because we just can't seem to get out of it. We have so much healthcare stuff. So to me,
okay,
it's almost has to be.
Okay.
And then business owners, but that's pretty broad.
Okay. So those are the two. I think you'll narrow your focus down on business owners to, you know, the kind of entrepreneurs that you're looking to go after. And the thing is that they all have needs. These business owners have the greatest amount of needs. So that's a really, really good one. Okay. So let's stop right here and start and pick up again on this whole acquisition component. Now, tell me what you value today, what resonated with you, what was reinforced before we conclude. Any takeaways?
Just something real simple. On the 24-month calendar, I was struggling a little bit with, you know, coming up with ideas, the value when I was making calls this month, especially if we had just done a review not too long ago or something like that. But a couple things were, you know, phrasing things in a way to catch your attention. I mean, that is huge today. On YouTube, on any kind of media, you know, they're always using these grabber, you know, headlines. To get you to click on something and to get your attention. So that's what I thought of. Definitely need to be more creative mm-hmm. with those and adding the value there, making it interesting. Things like that. And of course, it's got to translate into dollars.
Right. Very key. Look at either online stuff or like Money Magazine. Don't look at Money Magazine for your benefit as being the place where you're going to get ideas, but look at it on how they frame their headlines. Okay? You'll get all the headlines on every topic that you'll want to have. And the good news is you'll get the headlines from very experienced writers.
Sure.
So just pull out and grab, you know, headlines when they're talking about mortgages, what's the headline? When they're talking about long-term care, what's the headline? When they're talking about...
We use that on our calendar topic design, our whatever, our batch.
Exactly. So don't go out thinking you got to go reinvent the wheel. I mean, the USA Today has got this money section. They got headlines. One of the things I used to do, and for the life of me, back in the day, advisors weren't able to quite do this. Like, I'd go read an article in the Wall Street Journal, and then I would translate that in a way that made sense to grab a client's attention. On anything having to do with the economy. So, you know, one of the things we're dealing with is, man, you know, this whole geopolitical environment, spike up in oil, You know, we don't know if it's going to be inflationary or not. We're not trying to manage our portfolio crisis by crisis, but we just want to, you know, keep in mind, make sure that, you know, we're balanced in the right way to withstand, you know, some of the changes that are going on in the economic world. People will relate to the fact that they go to the gas pump and prices have increased. So always take all this intellectual capital that you receive and then translate it in a way that people can understand it or relate to. Okay. Any last minute comments, Russ?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, look, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure working with you. You know, I think we got a lot out of this session today, and, you know, it's reinforcing some things that's kind of bringing it together and getting your comfort level a lot higher with this stuff, and you can begin to start to see where this is going to really come to the bottom line in terms of profitability.
Right.
So, if you have anything that's on your mind between now and the next call, feel free to send me an email. And other than that, enjoy the rest of your week.
Hey, thank you. You too.
All righty. Bye-bye. Anytime. Bye-bye.